Good day, good day, good day. I am in full recovery mode. Welcome to Unfiltered with Matthew Barnaby. I'm your host. I'm also hoarse a little bit for some reason. Spitlets, Chicklets Cup. That's how long it was. What a 4 days that Spit and Chicklets put on. Listen to their podcast. I'm sure you guys already do. Awesome dudes. Biz, Wit, R.A., Mike, the whole crew behind the scenes. Absolutely awesome, awesome weekend. To the hockey boys, love meeting with you. Class guys, 1.3 million followers on TikTok. Make sure you follow the hockey boys on Twitter as well as on TikTok. They have awesome content. I think like 95% of their following are girls. These guys are rockets, man. Good looking dudes, smart guys. And they went to Wisconsin Superior. Good ball hockey team, won the C division. B division was another great group of guys. And A division, the Chicklets crew, losing to the Toronto boys. Toronto boys rolling in the final. Late goal to win it, 5-4. What a time. Thank you to Jay McKee. Thank you to Terry Ryan. Thank you to Riverworks. Unbelievable, unbelievable hosts for the event. Also for our first live Unfiltered with Matthew Barnaby show from Riverworks. More to come there. But wow, what a weekend. What a weekend. After the show with Jay, we had an awesome time meeting a few of his buddies. Also love seeing all the fans from Buffalo, all the Buffalo Sabres fans that came in. It was jam-packed all week long. Just tremendous people. I've always said it. Buffalo people are the absolute best. Great food there. And no one drinks like Buffalo people. I can fucking tell you that firsthand. We are Gatorade. They aren't even a sponsor. They aren't even a sponsor of Unfiltered. And I'm giving them props because this is what it's been all day. Steam, sauna, hot tub, Gatorade, and water. Great show today. Great, great show. Pierre-Luc Dubois, what is going on there? Tkachuk, another star to leave Calgary. Another star to leave Calgary. Brad Treliving gets a great return. Now can he sign Huberdeau long-term? That'll determine how this really plays out, how the trade plays out long-term. Short-term looks like you get a great return. Huberdeau, 100-point guy. Weegar, great player from Ottawa. Thought Ottawa Senators might be in on him. Watched him skate last few years. What kind of money is he going to command? Prospect, conditional first. That's a lot for Matthew Tkachuk. Matthew Tkachuk's a hell of a player. Going to make Florida Panthers tough to play against in the playoffs. Exactly what they need going up against a team like Tampa that is so deep and have added so many great role players along the way. So let's get to it. We also have Barney's Bets, but I want to bring in my guest, who is a great friend of mine, one of the guys I respect in the media as much as pretty well anyone. Worked in Toronto, a tough, tough market. Vancouver, a tough market. Now in Edmonton. Edmonton, welcome to the show, Andrew Walker from the Hedge Podcast.
Hey, Barney, what's up?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Oh, sorry, I'm doing good. I message. I was upstairs doing shit. I had my phone charging.
I was I was interested in listening to your takes on the trade. It's crazy, right? Like nothing gets people more riled up than a huge blockbuster, like star for star. And it was like it's pretty unprecedented. Like you know, the biggest one I was trying to remember going back. The biggest one I can remember was probably Heatley for Hossa, right? And then both those guys went on to 100-point years, yeah. Hossa in Atlanta, and then Heatley with the Ottawa Senators. But man, other than that, like people freaked out over Subban for Weber. They freaked out over Taylor Hall for Adam Larson. But those deals weren't even in the stratosphere of this one.
Yeah, this one's huge, and yeah, you don't see it often. You don't see it in salary cap world as much as you would like. It's just hard. And when you're acquiring a guy like Tkachuk, usually you want to keep all your pieces in place. That's hard to do in a salary cap era. We know that. And you usually have to give up something, but usually it's more pieces. It's getting a $9 or $10 million guy, throwing a four and a three back the other way, and maybe a guy on an ELC to make up that $9 or $10 million. But just how big is this for the Florida Panthers? And probably the bigger part is how demoralizing is this for Calgary fans, really 2 weeks in a row losing two of the best players in the last 10 years to don a Flames jersey?
Well, I think it, you know, if you're a Flames fan, I think your ego took a big hit the last couple of months, right? So you have the big series win against Dallas, and Gaudreau scores the game winner in overtime in game seven. And then you score 9 goals on the Oilers in game one. And I think everyone was like, oh man, Flames are going to win this thing in a romp. And then they could probably handle Colorado or at least give them a good run. And then from that moment on, it has been nothing but brutal times for Flames fan. Oilers win the next 4 games of that series, which was crazy. McDavid, you know, ends their dreams. Gaudreau signs in Columbus of all places. And then Tkachuk's like, hey, I want out too. So that's bad, and it's tough, but I think that Treliving, he at least, like, bought some time. Like, he made the best out of a bad situation. He made chicken salad out of chicken shit, right?
Yeah.
And I think he solved it short-term because he might run into the exact same problems. Like, I don't know if Jonathan Huberdeau is going to want to sign an 8-year deal in Calgary. But at least, like, at least he gives himself some time. He, like, the Flames can stay competitive. But listen, I think that even with this thing, because Vancouver's a great hockey market, Edmonton's a great hockey market, Ottawa, Winnipeg, and it's, I think sometimes, you know, Canadian hockey fans can be like, oh yeah, like, you know, F you Calgary, it's nice to see them, you know, going through some struggles, and vice versa. But nobody wants this, because it could easily be Austin Matthews wants out of Toronto, or you know, Leon Draisaitl wants out of Edmonton. Like, it could easily happen to you. And that is a great hockey town with a bad rink, but hockey matters, the team matters, and they were really good, right? And Johnny Gaudreau leaving a 300 point line to sign in Columbus. Like, if you're the Flames, you're like, what the fuck can we do? You know? So I think that Treliving, you know, given his back was against the wall, made a pretty good deal. But now I kind of have questions on Huberdeau. Like, you know, the Panthers were happy to kind of, like, not happy, but they walked away from this guy and said, you know, we need to get tougher with Tkachuk. So if you're Calgary, is Huberdeau really the guy you want to build around, or you're trying to save face, or I don't know. There's a lot of wrinkles to it.
There's a lot of wrinkles. And I was there. It's funny. We talked during the playoffs and Edmonton. It was a fun series. That's what you want to see. Battle of Ontario. You want to see Battle of Alberta. The Battle of Florida now, I think, is just going to get that much better and more intriguing with a guy like Tkachuk in the lineup. You know, you're facing not a dynasty, but as close to a dynasty, I think, in the cap era that we've seen is Tampa Bay Lightning. But going back to that series and losing that game, I was watching Calgary fans, not even upset after the game. They were just demoralized that they lost the way that they did to Edmonton. I was in Calgary, walked, and they weren't even mad. There was no fights. There was no craziness, which surprised me a lot and showed a lot of class from Calgary fans along the way. But, you know, it was just like, okay, we can't get any lower. And now we're 2 months later and we are much lower. But going back to your point, living in the short term saves face. Weegar says, I'm willing to sign an 8-year deal. I'm willing to sign there long-term. Huberdeau is saying the same thing. Listen, I don't fucking believe any of these guys.
Well, what are they going to say, right?
You know,
yeah.
Hey, are we at the point now? Well, Calgary's rink. I mean, people, all things being equal, they're going to make $9-10 million anywhere they go. And unless you, like, crazily overpay, which they were still overpaying for Johnny Gaudreau, or at least giving him more money than Columbus, and he still walks away. How much does the rink, the taxes, and we've talked about it before, like, it's an unfair playing field when you're in a Canadian market tax-wise when guys get to choose where they want to go. And we're, I don't want to say we're going NBA because we're not NBA there yet. We're not Kevin Durant demanding out and forcing the trades, but we're getting a little bit more there where the star players have a little bit more control of their destiny.
Yeah, I mean, every player's built a little different. You know, I think where Calgary ran into trouble, I mean, number one, yeah, it was interesting to see the initial report of Matthew Tkachuk's preferred trade list. And one was the St. Louis Blues, and every other team, what was the common denominator? It was in a no state tax market, right? Yes. Dallas, yeah. Florida, Vegas, you know, not that all those teams could afford them. And I think the interesting wrinkle to this too, because like, listen, individually, like I love Johnny Gaudreau. He's a great player, but he signed in Columbus. And that tells me, winning is a luxury. It's not the priority, and that's fine. Hey, different strokes for different folks, man. But Johnny Gaudreau doesn't give a fuck about winning. Why would you sign in Columbus if you really want to win a cup? And that's, again, whatever, that's fine. You want to choose that, you know, winning is hard and it's not for everybody. So maybe, who knows, maybe Calgary dodged the bullet. But the other thing is, these two guys are young American stars. And I think, you know, it was almost like, remember a few years ago, everyone was afraid to take Russians because of the transfer agreement. I think if you're a Canadian city, you know, you got to be really careful about building your team around big American stars because you never know when they just want to go home. I think that's a wrinkle. You know, I think it's worth keeping an eye on Austin Matthews. It's worth keeping an eye on, I mean, Quinn Hughes and Thatcher Demko, right? Like, that's tough.
It is. You look at those guys. If Austin Matthews leaves, I mean, fucking Canada just might tear this place down. I know Toronto, the epicenter, just asked them how crazy that would be. So that would be disaster for Canadian hockey just in general. But this is the start, and I said it about a month ago. It doesn't have the same allure to Americans. I played with a lot of Americans. Listen, I would have loved to play in Edmonton or Calgary or Ottawa, Vancouver. You name the team, you name the city, I would have loved it. But it doesn't have the same allure to Americans. They don't give a fuck about hockey night in Canada and all those things that go with it. They just really don't. They say they do when they're here. But the fact is, like you said, I always say money trumps everything in every business. You're usually going to take the most money. But when you get to a threshold where it's really close, then playing for a championship team is right there. That's the thing that's just so dumbfounding about Gaudreau going to Columbus, who's not even close to being a championship team.
Well, and also it's, I think that, you know, we know like what it would be like if a player won a team on won a cup on a team in Canada and what that would mean. And like, my God, you'd never pay for a beer as long as you live in that city. But it hasn't happened for so long. I don't even know if there's a player in the National Hockey League that's alive that saw the 1993 Montreal Canadiens, right? Like you weren't even in junior yet. You played junior, then you had your whole pro career. Now you've been retired for like a decade, and there hasn't been a Canadian team that won a cup. So there's no example we can show anybody.
1993. Trust me, I know that one because it was my first game in the NHL against Montreal in overtime. We lose all four of those games. And they go on to win. So that's, you know, listen, we live in Canada. Every time you turn on the TV, and almost every time they reminisce back, it's the Montreal Canadiens winning in 93. And that's our sport. That's what we, listen, we have basketball. Right. We love the Rappers. That's our national team, which everyone cheers for. But everyone prides themselves on hockey, and we just haven't had that. Now it's almost like we're not on an equal playing field with everyone else. And that's the tough thing, I think, for Canadian fans out there. I don't care what market you're in, is trying to convince these star players to stay because of Vegas, of no state taxes in these other places like Dallas and Vegas and Florida's along the way. So that's the hard part. I want to jump back to Edmonton. You're in that market. They had a hell of a run. Goaltending always is their nemesis. They've maybe supposedly cured that. What do you make of their offseason so far?
Well, I mean, I've never been a big fan of Evander Kane, the guy. But I think everyone matures a little bit at their own pace. You can still be a dick as long as you keep things on the rails. But you can't deny what he did with this club. And, you know, you said it, money trumps everything, and everything's expensive, and it's a cap world. If Evander Kane doesn't have the baggage, that's a $9 million player, and the Oilers got him for basically less than five. So, I mean, as long as he keeps his nose clean, it's the best contract steal in the NHL. So with that, I think you're pretty happy with the Oilers' offseason. And I think their theory is, too, because Jack Campbell's all right. You know, he had his moments in Toronto. You know, he's not Vasilevsky. He's not Patrick Waugh. But I think the Oilers, much like the Leafs, are banking on this idea that if we can just get some consistent league average goaltending, we can – that's all we need.
Yeah.
And can Jack Campbell do that? I think he can. So I don't think it's done yet. I'm interested to see if they move Barry. You know, Jesse Puljujarvi is this really interesting, controversial figure here for sure. You know, Yamamoto still has arbitration, all of that. So, I mean, are you up there with Colorado? Yeah, probably not. I think Evan Bouchard is going to take a big step and Broberg is going to play. But if you're the Oilers, I you're not decidedly worse than last year. And, you know, and you still went to the conference finals with Dreisaitl on one leg. So, yeah, I think the Oilers cemented that they're a top, you know, seven team in the NHL, I think.
Yeah, Evander Kane, I've met him. I just know people that have played with him and absolutely fucking hate him. That's more from the Winnipeg days.
Yep. At every level, though, junior, national team. Yeah, like people don't like him.
But at some point, listen, I've played with some assholes that figured it out on different teams. This was his last chance. And he went there, he made the most of it. I mean, he was fucking dominating and playing with the best player in the world, keeping his nose clean, saying all the right things. This is by far the best contract in the league. Like, he brings everything to the table. He's tough, he can skate, he can finish, and he's a difference maker. So I'm with you on him, that contract. I thought someone was going to give him five times six.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I thought he was going to get more money out there. I thought there's always a desperate GM that's trying to save his job and trying to find that guy. And he's a guy that I thought was going to cash in. I think he made the right decision either way, even if there was more money on the table. That I don't know. But I think Edmonton, if you're a fan, you just have to look at Colorado. Listen, they had great defense. At least one unbelievable defender, maybe the best in the league, in Cale Makar. They have a lot of good offensive guys. They're exciting to watch, kind of the same brand as the Edmonton Oilers. And their goaltending, if you look at their numbers, wasn't great. I mean, we're talking about two guys, Francouz,
Kemper, yeah.
With the injury to Kemper, Francouz coming in, going back, like, it was just, their numbers were like 906 and 895 at points. Like, it wasn't great. They just had an offense that could outscore their opponents, sort of like the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, and you know me too, you know, with the Kane stuff. I mean, obviously there's no room for certain things, and a lot of it is, hey, it's still due process and it's hearsay and things like that. But you're not going to love everybody you play with, like, that's just fact, right? Like, it's not always kumbaya, but you know me, the moral dilemma, I don't see it. I would have signed Evander Kane. I would sign Anthony DeAngelo. All I care about is if my team is winning. You know, that's it.
Yeah, I agree with you. PLD, Pierre-Luc Dubois, what do you make of this situation? It seems like it's all over the fucking map right now.
Has there been a less I say that, hey, like, you know, it doesn't really matter if you're a good guy or a bad guy, but there's something about, you know, players asking out or wanting out or orchestrating that's always rubbed me the wrong way. You know, like, look at Adam Fox, right? He's like, I'm not signing in Calgary. So they trade him to Carolina. I'm not signing in Carolina. So trade me to New York. Then he goes to New York and wins the Norris. So maybe he's right. but Pierre-Luc Dubois, so that's twice now where he's basically, you know, said, I want to leave. And that would be tough for me, I think, if I'm a teammate. Because you wonder if this guy, and you experienced it, you wonder, it's like, is this guy all in? You know, because all he wants to do is go to, you know, City X or whatever.
I asked out of Buffalo, but I had played there 7 years. It was just, it ran its course, different coach came in. So it had ran its course. I wasn't asking twice under the age of 25. I asked out of Tampa because I wasn't playing under Torts. And he told me I was never going to play. So the reasons I was doing it was I just wanted to extend my career, and I knew I wasn't going to, I knew my career was, shelf life was almost over. This guy's not even 25, third overall pick. When he plays hard, he's really, really good. He's also very inconsistent. So to see this shit happen to a guy that has so much promise, it's just fucking dumbfounding. Like, just bear down and play, man. Mm-hmm. Just bear down and play. You're a hell of a player when you want to be. And you want to go to Montreal? Like, you sure you want to go to Montreal, bud? French Canadian in probably with Toronto, the hardest market in the world?
Well, and I think that, so you look at that draft class, right? So it's PLD, it's Matthew Tkachuk, it's Jesse Puljujärvi. And it's interesting that all these guys in kind of the same wheelhouse, in one way or another, are kind of wanting to orchestrate where they go. But to me, here's the difference. Matthew Tkachuk, and I think some, you know, Flames fans can be mad at him, but Matthew Tkachuk, to me, earned the right to do that, right? He beasted. He scored 100 points. He was a good citizen and a good teammate. And in fact, I think it surprised a lot of people when he said, you know, hey, I signed my bridge deal, but this is for a reason because I eventually want to be elsewhere. But it didn't really play its way through the media. Now, I look at a guy like Pierre-Luc Dubois, and you haven't quite earned that level of decision-making yet. Jesse Puljujärvi, I get it. You want to play in the top six, and you want a guaranteed spot at McDavid's wing or whatever it is. But, you know, you've been, and I know there's, you know, people that say he's metrically their best defensive forward. He's not. He's a decent player. I think he can help their team. I think he can help a lot of teams. But between Puljujärvi, between Pierre-Luc Dubois, to me, they haven't entered that realm where, hey, like, you've earned the right to choose your path.
Puljujärvi is dumbfounding as well. I watched that kid since he's been 12 years old. My son was a 98, so they played. This kid he's a beast, man. Like, he's looked like he's got quicker. He's gotten better, but not the promise that I thought he would come in and have. I mean, I remember watching Lion A, yeah, he disappears, but Puljujärvi, for anyone out there that's compared them over the years, like, oh, they're big, they're not a fucking chance. He doesn't shoot the puck like him. He doesn't get to the spots, but I thought he'd be a better player. By now, I thought he'd be a better player. It hasn't worked out. Maybe a change. Maybe sometimes some of these guys need a change. Maybe they just mentally want to get to the next place and a fresh start. I don't know if that's going to help him, but I'm surprised he hasn't taken that next step on that team because he looks like he's getting a little better, but he's not there yet.
Yeah, and I think, too, yeah, for sure, I think fresh starts can help guys like that. Or sometimes, like, okay, so this guy wants to be a top line player, and I think the Oilers see him as a really heavy, versatile third line player making X amount of dollars that eventually lifts a cup because he's playing a certain role at a certain salary, and that's not good enough for him. And, you know, he wants to be in a situation where he's going to be a star and have the chance to put up 30 goals or whatever. So what's going to happen? You know, I don't think they can get value for him. They move him. And then when he finally becomes like that, you know, a successful NHLer, guess what role it's going to be in? A third liner on a cup contender. Like, this is, I have a lot of respect for the guy. But in Edmonton, this is what happened with Andrew Cogliano, right? So he played whatever it was, never missed a game, 350 games as an Oiler. And they saw him as like a bottom six penalty killer, you know, situational energy guy. And he was like, no, I'm a top two center. I'm a top six center. I want to get points. So they traded him for nothing. They got a couple of second round picks or a couple third round picks or a 1 second round pick, I want to say. Brutal deal. But what happened to Cogliano? He went to a team and flourished in that exact role. So like the team was right about him, but he needed like a second opinion, right? And it was the same. It's going to be the same with Jesse Puljujärvi. This guy is not a first line 40-goal guy, even if he sees himself as that.
And the problem is you're in a no-win situation if you're Edmonton, right? Totally. Like, if he does get traded, and he goes, like, let's say he gets traded to a bottom feeder, and he plays top six, and he puts up good points because he's on a shitty team. Because a lot of okay players go to really shitty teams. They play top six. They don't make the playoffs. Their numbers get inflated. They get bigger contracts. And then your fan base is going, see, he could have put up 60 points.
Yeah.
See, but he'll never put that up at Edmonton playing where he is going to be slotted. And you're only going to get minimal return. The one guy that I was really afraid of, and it happened when he when there was rumors of him getting traded was Andre Burakovsky from Washington, because he had great skill. He had no spot there for him. They were down on him. I was like, this guy could be a really, this is like, someone's going to get a good deal for this guy and he could explode. Now, he could have went the opposite way. He took advantage of it, but he's got a lot more talent than Justin Pagliari up and upside.
And I think people understand, I think fans understand the nuances of the salary cap more than ever. You know, there's a lot of information out there. And I think, you know, some fans think the smartest guy in the room, and that's what I'm talking about, like some of the advanced metrics and things like that. Oh, like Puljujarvi is the Oilers' best defensive forward. No, he's not. Like, watch the game. at the same time,
I'll take Zach Hyman over him every day.
Well, I was going to mention Hyman because sometimes fans get upset because they're like, this guy should be getting more numbers. But sometimes, if you're an organization, you got to fit all these guys in under the cap. It's not the worst thing in the world if, like, one of your guys is, like, a 15-goal scorer and not a 30-goal scorer, right? Like, everyone's like, Hyman should be getting 65, 70 points playing with Matthews and Marner. Well, you know, why does he have bad hands? Why is he only scoring 18 goals? Well, guess what? It enabled you to keep him for an extra 3 years because his cost was down. Like, not all of your players can score 30 goals and make $7 million. You can't keep them.
Well, watch how many times fans out there in Edmonton, first of all, Andrew Walker, the Hedge podcast, listen to him on all outlets. Watch how many times he bumps a guy off the puck in the offensive zone, moves it back to the D, it goes to the front of the net, it gets to McDavid or Drysdale, whoever it may be, and it's in the back of the net. And he's the third guy, but he created the play in the corner where he's bumping a guy off and he's not getting credit. But
he had a great first year here. Like,
he was
great
so good. Year. He's a difference maker. He's just a difference maker. He's not flashy. Just outworks you, and that's, you know, when they do, because I do think they're going to win a Stanley Cup with this group. I really believe that. I firmly believe you have to lose, or you know, Steve Yzerman lost so many times before they finally got over the hump. Now they ended up having a juggernaut. Then they weren't losing in the 90s, but I firmly believe they're going to win with this group, and he's just going to be such a massive. Now he's going to be in absolute shambles, that body, when he's done playing, when he lifts that cup, he's going to be the guy playing with a broken tibia, a sprained shoulder, cut eyes. He's going to have the beard, everything going on. But he's such an integral part of that team if they do win a Stanley Cup and get over the hump. There's no question.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I'll always, if you're a betting man, and I know you are, the greats, like the generational guys, and I know that term is overused, but the generational players always get their cup eventually. Ovi did, and people said he wasn't going to do it. Obviously, Sid did, Mario did, Wayne did, Bobby Orr did. And when we're talking about generational guys, you know, I think McDavid will eventually get his. The only one that didn't was the Big E, right? The only one that didn't was Lindros. He made the one finals and got swept. But of course, that was, you know, more to do with injuries, more so than anything else. But the great ones always find a way to get theirs, and Edmonton has two of them. And, you know, I think Austin Matthews and the Leafs get there one day too, eventually, someday.
Yeah, I hope so. Hopefully we're not waiting another 30 years till we're talking about this again. I was thinking about you this weekend. I was in Buffalo at the Chicklets Cup. It was a blast, man. Like I said, I'm not a sponsor by Gatorade, but I want to thank them because these electrolytes are much needed. A great time. What have you been up to all summer? And besides work, what have you been doing for fun?
Well, man, last year, I've always loved golf. And last year when I got let go from Sportsnet, I had a year to kill. You know, couldn't work, but I was getting paid still. And so last summer I golfed more than I ever have before. And then started playing in a couple like competitive tournaments, like not unbelievable, but where shit mattered. I'm really enjoying golf, and I'm playing a lot this summer as well. So between golf and then I'm dating a girl here, a St. Albert girl, and we actually play hockey together. And she's awesome. She's playing pro in Switzerland next year. And so I spend a lot of time with her. I hit the golf course. I work on the hedge. You know, my new podcast. I put a lot of work into that. And yeah, hopefully this winter I'll be over in Switzerland checking out the girlfriend's team in the Swiss Pro League and maybe catching the Spengler Cup or something.
Well, she's obviously better at hockey than you. Is she better at golf than you too? That That's a tough pill.
You know what's funny? So she's really athletic and really competitive, and she's never really golfed before.
Okay.
But that's something she just started. But I swear, Barney, she's played like 8 rounds in her life. And no shock. It's just like, it's annoying how good she's getting, how fast she's getting.
That's when the breakup comes, right?
Yeah, she's not gonna beat me though.
Yeah, she better not. you'll never do Unfiltered with Matthew Barnaby.
No. I'm down to like a 6.9. We'd have a good match.
That is good. You know what I'm gonna have to do is because I'm actually setting up a match with Brad May, and he's grabbing a partner. I'm grabbing a partner in Toronto. I'm going to have to do one. We're gonna have to pick a better city than Edmonton though. How's the golf courses out there?
You know, pretty good. Alberta has some unbelievable golf, and you got there's so many courses. Calgary has great golf, and obviously you got unbelievable golf in the mountains just a couple hours away, right?
Yeah, it was funny when I went to Calgary for that event during the playoffs, me and Rondo, we ended up going to Banff for a few days and then Lake Louise. I'm not in Banff 2 minutes. And I asked Ron, I said, hey, can we just go down and check out the Banff Springs golf course? I just want to make a tee time. I'm going to play tomorrow. I literally walk in. Now, I was drinking with Tommy 6 hours ago. Who's rolling in to a Escalade or big SUV, black tinted windows? There's Tommy and Gaudreau and all of Lucic is in the back. Like, I was just with you like 6 hours ago. You didn't tell me that you were coming up here. You know what? We're literally going in, playing golf, and we're headed back. So, but I literally saw him 6 hours, and those are the first four guys I saw when I rolled in. What a course that is. Banff Springs.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, Banff is a top 10 for me. Where an underrated place for golf is, everyone talks about Kelowna, but Kamloops has great golf. And
really?
My favorite course, now I haven't played Cabot, and I haven't played the big privates in Toronto, but my favorite course in Western Canada's Tobiano, outside of Kamloops, unbelievable course.
I'll have to do that trip. I want to do Cabot so bad.
Yeah,
that's like, I've played Old Head in Ireland, which is incredible. I haven't played Pebble, but everyone tells me Old Head's like Pebble on steroids. Like it's 500 foot cliffs going down. I've heard Cabot is equally as good. I'm gonna get you some. I know you're a better too. Do you got some bets? Here's what I got today. Barney's bets today.
Okay.
Bet 99. I know you can pump up yours on your side. MLB. Jays, they're hot. 6 in a row. I know you're a big, big baseball guy. They aren't playing tonight, but man, have they been hot. First the Jays, and then give me a few of your picks.
Well, so the Jays are back at it tomorrow. I'm really curious to see what the lines are. And they're playing the St. Louis Cardinals, but you know, with the COVID vaccine issue, so it's Goldschmidt and Arenado are not going to be playing in this series, which is kind of crazy. Those are two of the better guys in the National League. But tonight, speaking of the Jays, so my favorite bet tonight is you're a D-gen when you're watching the Padres and the Tigers, but but starting for the Detroit Tigers tonight at Comerica is our old friend Drew Hutchison. Remember him?
Yeah.
For the Toronto Blue Jays. Well, he's been getting pounded this year, and Sean Manet is starting for San Diego. So I like a few bets. I like the Padres on the run line, so to win by at least 2 runs, and the total bases for Manny Machado is 1.5, so I like him over that. So I'm a big Padres fan tonight.
Big, yes. That is D-Gen Central when you're watching that game. But like I said,
hey, I've already looked into if I can bet on Swiss women's hockey, which apparently you can't.
Apparently you can't. Yeah. You'd have the inside edge.
Yeah. So hey, babe, I need 3 goals tonight, okay?
In insider trading, that would be. But yeah, it's like betting on Detroit, Ottawa with 4 games left in the regular season. But that's what betting. That's what makes it great.
It's next year, Detroit Ottawa is going to be a great game.
And I'm just saying, in the past when they're already out, but when you have money on the game, it doesn't matter who's playing, man. It's all about cash. I totally agree. I'm all chalk. I'm going Astros. Huge. They're -230, but this is a parlay. LA -300. Boston got shellacked against Toronto. -110 tonight. Those 3 in a 3-team parlay. Those are Barney's bets tonight. Have you seen Top Gun? Have you seen Top Gun yet? Or you're too young to really appreciate it, aren't you?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would just say it's not my style of movie. I need a little grittier. I need like Scorsese stuff.
All right. Yeah. Have you seen the Irishman?
Yes.
Ever. I'm almost done. I got like an hour left. Good movie.
Yeah.
Good
movie. What did I read? It's like Goodfellas when they didn't cut out any of the like the exciting scenes of like checking into hotels. That's the Irishman.
It is. Three and a half hours long though. Like it's a long fucking movie. When you got a little ADD, this is a tough one. This is a four day watch for me. So yeah, Top Gun wasn't bad. Wasn't as corny as I thought it would be. Actually, not bad writing for a sequel.
Well, yeah. I know people seem to really like it.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good for what it is,
for a sequel.
That Nope movie is getting crazy reviews. People love that Jordan Peele movie.
Nope.
N-O-P-E. Yeah.
Oh, haven't even heard about it.
It was kind of like Get Out. Remember he did Get Out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, same deal, but apparently there's some crazy twists in it. I don't know.
Well, I just started watching too because I was with Terry Ryan this past week, and that's... His dad was actually foaming from the mouth the first night. That's what happens when you don't eat and you're still on Newfie time. And then you proceed to drink like 40 alcoholic beverages. He literally, I thought he had rabies, like the poor guy. But I started watching Shoresy. So yes, if you...
Well, I was going to say the Ryans, like they're more, they would watch cartoons really more than Scorsese.
We were saying they literally are comic book characters. Like they're fictional people. These people don't live in real life. They're completely fictional. Like when you knock your own teeth out with a sledgehammer, you stick your hand in like hot sauce to get in a fight. Like this is just whacked up shit. But yes, great time. Chicklets Cup. Glad you're having an awesome summer. Thank you for joining Unfiltered with Matthew Barnaby. Andrew Walker, The Hedge. Listen, it's awesome. It's betting. It's degenerates. It's opinionated, and he is a great person, a great host, and a good friend. Thanks, Andy.
Hey, anytime, Barney. Thank you.
All right. Cheers. That's Andrew Walker, The Hedge Podcast. Great dude, opinionated, awesome, awesome guy. Known him since our time when he worked at Sportsnet in Toronto, then went to Vancouver. Man, he's worked in three pretty good Canadian hockey markets. Hope you enjoyed. Click like. Click subscribe to Unfiltered with Matthew Barnaby. Catch me on all platforms, YouTube, Spotify, Apple. Matt Barnaby, 3636 on Twitter. MattBarnaby36.com. Cheers. Have a great week. Love you. More to come.